I am always happy, my brethren and sisters, brethren tonight, for the privilege I have of meeting with the priesthood. As I have said before, I have met with men in high places, in different countries, holding responsible positions, leaders, executives, and so on. But never do I feel the same as when I meet with the priesthood. As we were listening to and enjoying these fine talks, and as I looked over this audience and thought of all those who are gathered tonight, President Lee said 170,000, and enjoying the friendship and brotherhood of our brothers in the priesthood, I've been thinking and wondering about the lad out there who is not with us, who is not a part of this group because he thinks he is not wanted, understood, or loved. There are in every ward boys ranging in ages from 12 to 70 who, though they would deny it, are hungering for attention, for brotherhood, and for the active life in the church. Let us as leaders and all of us always remember and never forget that everyone is looking for happiness. Everyone wants to be happy. It's our great privilege and responsibility to show him the way to happiness and success. Often some little thing, some slight, or a misunderstanding causes one to become inactive. There are those who are discouraged and inactive because they have felt neglected or have been offended or are guilty of some transgression of their own, and as a result feel that they are an outcast, or that there is no place for them, that they are not worthy or wanted. They feel that they are lost and cannot be forgiven. We as leaders must let them know and make them know that we love them and help them to understand that the Lord loves them and that the Lord will forgive them if they will but repent. We had an old song, "Where is my wandering boy tonight?" And I was wondering if that couldn't be changed to mean more to us, "Why is my boy wandering tonight?" Now those two sons of Brother Ashton, if they listen to their father and follow his directions, and if all of you who listen to Bishop Brown this evening, and those who listened this afternoon and this morning to the General Conference and will follow the instructions that were given them will not be wandering boys. But sometimes boys do wander because, as I said before, the way they are treated, the way they're neglected, because they feel that they're not wanted. The Lord gave us the parable of the lost sheep, and I should like to read it because I think it's important. "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes, seeing them, murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth upon his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." Every bishop, every stake president, every leader of any organization knows someone who needs attention. And you and we have the responsibility of going to find that lost sheep. If we had knowledge tonight that some young man was lost, If any of us knew of someone who is drowning, we wouldn't hesitate 1 minute to do all in our power to save that individual, to save the one who is lost, the one who is drowning, the one who is in need of our help. And these young men and these older men who are inactive in the church, who have strayed away from the church because of inactivity, for any reason, need our help, need our attention, need our prayers and our consideration. And nothing will bring us greater joy and happiness than to see one come back into activity. By saving one, we might save a family. We might even save a generation. By losing one, we may lose not only the individual, but a family and his posterity. The responsibility is great. Some of us seem to be very happy if we have 40 to 70% attendance. If you have 40% attendance, you have 60% that are not in attendance. And if you have 70% in attendance, there is still 30% not attending. And those are the ones that need our attention. And they need it badly. I was greatly impressed as I attended a state conference and called on a bishop to speak. And as he spoke, tears came to his eyes. And it was difficult for him to speak when he said, "I want to acknowledge here tonight, at this meeting, my home teacher. I was an inactive senior Aaronic priesthood holder. And this home teacher worked with me. I didn't want to see him at first. In fact, I refused. But he continued until I would let him come into my home and teach me. And here I am, his bishop. I want to express to him my deep appreciation and thank the Lord for such worthy men who will not fail to do everything in his power to save those individuals." I think possibly I've told this experience that I had myself. I saw a young man when I was stake president. He was a very able young man. He'd been trained in agriculture, and we needed an agriculture advisor in our welfare committee. He wasn't active in the church. I knew that he wasn't keeping the word of wisdom. But I called him and asked him to go to lunch with me one day. And as we sat and talked, I told him what I wanted of him. I said, "You're the best prepared, able young man to do this job. We need you, and you need activity." We talked for some time, and he said, "Well, President Tanner, you know that I don't keep the word of wisdom." I said, "Well, you can, can't you?" Probably that wasn't fair. And he said, "President, that's a different approach. My bishop came to me last month and asked me if I would take a job in the ward. And I told him that I wasn't keeping the word of wisdom." And he said, "Well, we'll get somebody else." So I talked to him for a little while longer. And I said, "Listen, brother, you need activity in the church, but we need you. We really need you." After we talked a little while, he said, "Do you mean that I really, if I take a position like this, I couldn't even have a cup of coffee?" I said, "Yes, that's exactly what I mean. Any leader must be a leader. He must be an example. If you were taken into a stake committee, we'd expect you to live the gospel the way a man should live it." He said, "Well, then I'd have to think it over." I said, "Well, you think it over. But remember, you need activity and we need you." He said, "Well, I'll let you know." He didn't call me the next day, and 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 he didn't call me the sixth day. And I thought, well, he doesn't want to admit that he can't keep the word of wisdom. But the eighth day he called me. He said, "President Tanner." I said, "Yes." He said, "Do you still want me to do that job?" I said, "Yes, that's the reason I called you and talked to you about it the other day." He said, well, then I'll do it and on your terms. And he did it, and he did it on my terms. He was a single man, but he was 30-some years of age. He came into activity, and there was a young woman who was president of the stake president of the mutual, a very fine young woman. And he met her and became very well acquainted with her, fell in love with her, married her. And then he became a bishop. And then he became a high counselor. And then he became a member of the stake presidency. You know, it's given me a great deal of satisfaction to know that that young man became active. And his family's active. He has children now that are active. Brethren, regardless of where we are or who we are, we should realize that we have out there a boy, a young man, an older man who is not active, and he wants to be active. If we can just find the way to interest him and let him know that he wants to be active. I'd like to leave this challenge with you tonight, my brethren, that each bishop determine that with the next month he will begin very actively to bring some young man into activity. And each counselor would do the same thing. And each man who holds office in that ward or stake will do the same thing. Brethren, there's nothing more important in your whole lives than to save souls. We have programs and we are planning outlines for teachers and giving them teacher help and all those things to take care of those who are there. And I fear too often we're forgetting, neglecting, ignoring those who are not there. Satisfied to say, well, we have 50% or we have 55 or 60% in attendance. I don't care at all for percentages or statistics, but I do care for that boy. That young man. And I appeal to you tonight, my brethren, to every one of you who is holding the priesthood of God, and particularly those who hold office in the church, set about to do as the Lord said, to find that lost sheep, bring him back into the fold, that you'll find joy with him when you meet your Heavenly Father. And to you young men, there's no fun in being lost, and you can keep from being lost if you honor your priesthood all the time and help the boys who are having difficulty to honor their priesthood, that they might be happy. I bear you my testimony, my brethren, this evening, that we hold the priesthood of God. This is his church and kingdom. He has given us the responsibility of teaching and helping to save our fellow men. May we do it in a way that be acceptable unto him, which bring joy to us and help to prepare us for eternal life. I humbly pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.